Is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth guilty of murder under military law? That is an incredibly serious charge, but one that we have to actually answer. And based on what is being publicly reported and then how the administration has chosen to respond to this, to include just literally less than an hour ago by the secretary himself, there are a lot of questions which demand answers. And if the answers are what some have reported, the answer to the question that we've asked, is he guilty of murder according to military law? That answer could be yes. But in order to find out, we have to do an investigation. So far, what we have are some allegations, a story from the Washington Post. It's based on leaked information, and then lots of commentary by the administration, by the president himself, and Secretary Hegseth. When you view all these things together, which is what we're going to go over here, there are some very disturbing ramifications and implications of what may be the truth. Bigger issue here, though, is even aside from whether this so-called double tap happened, which in most of this centers around where two members on September 2nd of this year of a drug boat that had 11 people on it, the reports were that two people initially survived the first shot. And then an order was given to, quote, double tap and kill the other two. And the focus that most of this is on, the legality or illegality of that action, and was that order actually given, et cetera. But that's one issue. That's maybe the most serious, but there's another one even aside from that. Is this entire operation even legal? Is the initial strike, was that legal under both international and American law? I argue it was not. And we're going to get into that, too. The justification provided by Secretary of Defense of War Pete Hegseth and by the president today, in my view, don't pass muster. And this is why it is so important that we actually get an investigation. The Senate Armed Services Committee has already said they are going to conduct an investigation in this, a thorough and robust one, they said. We desperately need that because if this is just something in the media cycle and some hard questions that get answered, or if it gets perfunctory examination and then it just gets dropped and nobody does anything serious, then we're going to be descending further down a status where we become a country no longer even ostensibly governed by the rule of law. The further we go down the path to where whoever is in charge can order even death of other people, and there be no consequences, and no one will be held to account for anything, that is a very, very dangerous path to be on. And very often that results in an authoritarian government where no laws are sacrosanct and nobody is held account to anything. And anytime human beings aren't held to account, they're naturally going to press the envelope further and go further and further until somebody either stops them or the whole place collapses. So this is a much bigger deal than just the one issue here. But let's go ahead and take a look at that. First of all, this actually began with that article in the Washington Post. Many of you may have heard about already. Let me bring that up here real quick. Sorry about that. So there's something key here in the first part of this. So this was the headline here. Hegseth ordered on first Caribbean boat strike. Officials say kill them all. That's the claim. And when you get down into the key part here, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth gave a spoken directive, and that's important too, a spoken directive, according to two people with direct knowledge of the operation. The order was to kill everybody, one of them said. So that is the claim, and it's very, very incendiary, of course, that he allegedly said the order by Hegseth spoken was to kill them all. Now, this is why we need an investigation, because we've had, of course, Secretary Hegseth has denied it. That naturally, I mean, can you even imagine a situation where he would have said, yeah, I did, sure, why not? Who cares? You know, he's not going to do that, especially with all this explosive. So you have to take that with a grain of salt at best. But it is important what he said. And by the way, we're going to get to that in a minute, because he said about an hour ago, he made some comments from the president's cabinet meeting. He directly addressed this. And we're going to look at that because he may have inadvertently thrown himself under the bus for other things too, in trying to deny this one here. But that's one of the big issues here. Now, in Hegseth's immediate reply, as soon as this came out, he went on X and defended what happened here. This is his official account. And he says, as I've said from the beginning and in every statement, these highly effective strikes are specifically intended to be, quote, lethal kinetic strikes, end quote. The declared intent is to stop lethal drugs, destroy narco boats, and kill the narco terrorists who are poisoning the American people. Every trafficker we kill is affiliated with a designated terrorist organization. So in his mind, that justifies everything right there, and that should put the whole thing to rest. He's like, he didn't address the double tap issue, but he's like, no, we're intended to kill them. That's the whole point of this thing, is to kill all these people. Well, let's just start right there at the surface level. There is no international law, there is no American law that allows you to unilaterally execute people who are suspected of running drugs. America is supposed to be, at least in theory, a country that's governed by the rule of law, and one of those is the presumption of innocence, is judicial process. You're supposed to be able to go through due process and have your day in court, etc. We have had for decades legal operations run in international waters, sometimes off our coast by the Coast Guard and other forms, to where you would seize boats, you would take the people into custody, you would do an investigation. If they're guilty, you hold them accountable, you put them in jail according to the law. You follow the law, and that includes the punishments. What you can't do is to, let's just say off the coast of Miami, let's say that an American boat goes in there and they capture some of these guys and they find that there's actually drugs on it. Well, you can't just kill them. You can't just say, oh, that's it, you had drugs, you're guilty, execution, throw their bodies into the water. That sounds awful to even say. That's no different than what we did do here, except, well, it is a little different. At least in the scenario I drew, the boat was stopped. They did a check. They confirmed that there was illegal drugs. And then in that fake scenario, then they executed the people on site. That sounds horrible to even contemplate. If you're mentally drawing a picture as I'm describing that, you would think that's reprehensible. Well, what we did do, and what is openly admitted to, if not outright bragged about, both in this X account as well as at the meeting here a few minutes ago, is that, yes, we suspected these boats of drug running. And so we executed them from the air. Instead of doing it on the ground with a bullet, we did it from the air with the missile. Same situation, except there was no investigation. You don't know for sure what was in that boat. Now, we claim we do. We claim we have, and this is true, perfect intelligence. We know with every single boat, and they claim this, what was in them, what was in the craft, what was in the packages, who was on the boat, where they came from, where they were going. They claim all this stuff, even though none of it's ever been provided. They've never told us any of that. If that's true and these people are dead, then you can let us know. You've already said that you have this information and that you know it, so you don't need to worry about, you know, exposing anybody who's dead. They're already gone. So why not do this? That's it. That's happened in the past where we've done these kinds of operations or something similar to it. And especially when we capture people, we've announced that information. Now, all of a sudden, nothing. Everything is classified. Trust me. You really want to go down that path. Trust me on the intelligence. Do I need to go any further than 2003 Operation Iraqi Freedom? Weapons of mass destruction. I mean, there's a ton of things I could go down the path, but you really want to say trusted intelligence? Listen, I was in Afghanistan, and I think it was during one of the times I was there in my second combat deployment there. And there was this situation, and I'm pretty sure it was during the time I was stationed there. There was an American gunship patrol that was doing a patrol out in one of the areas and I want to say it was Kunar province, somewhere near the Pakistan border. And they saw through their thermal imagery men picking up weapons and stuff. So they said, oh, Taliban, definitely, light them up, kill them all. Killed all the men, brought the guns to bear. When the sun came up the next day to collect the bodies and get intelligence, oh, snap, turned out to be children. And they were not getting weapons, but they were getting firewood. So the intelligence was bad. We thought we did. We thought we saw what was going on there. It wasn't. I had another personal experience in the 2005 deployment while I was working as a liaison officer between Central Command and Combined Forces of Command Afghanistan. I was actually in Tampa at the time. In Qatar at the CENTCOM headquarters forward. And while there, we were watching on the big screen. They had a drone that was going on, and they showed this image or the video of what, for all in the world, looked like some. This particular one was in Iraq. This video was coming from Iraq. That there was troops that were in Iraq, and there was a truck with some kind of local people, and they were digging up what, for all the world, to everybody in that room, to include me, looked like artillery shells. And of course, that's one of the things they use to make all these IEDs. And so most of the guys in the room were going, "Light them up. Dude, light them up, just clear as can be, kill them all." And for whatever reason, the guy who was in charge of that said, "No, let's do a little more checking." So they actually vectored an American armored patrol with some Bradley fighting vehicles, was vectored onto that. And so we're sitting there watching. Of course, they're tracking them the whole time because they dug something up. They put it in the back of this truck, and they're following the truck as it's going wherever. Well, then all of a sudden it went into this kind of a, not forested area, went into kind of like a big parking lot, and then it stopped. And now here comes the truck, the American military truck. And so we went, "Oh, we're going to find out for sure. Now we're going to get them." Well, we see the soldiers come, and they inspect, and they look in the back, and they talk for a while. Everybody gets back in their vehicles and leave. We never found out exactly what it was that they had discovered, but it was definitely not artillery shells. We were ready to kill them because it looked like artillery shells. Now, that's just two examples that I can cite right off the top of my head. And you want to now claim that all, I think it's 20 of these boats so far, is perfect intelligence, and we're supposed to trust that, and you're not going to show us any of the intelligence? I ain't buying it. That's one of the main issues here, right off the bat. So there is no American, there's no international law that allows you to summarily execute somebody because they're running drugs, even if your intelligence was right. Probably it's not perfect, and so therefore, even according to that flawed criteria, you have probably illegally killed some people. You have murdered them. That's probable, just because of the fog of war. More on that in a second. But when the White House was asked about this, and shortly thereafter, Caroline Leavitt was first asked, "What law is it that allows the U.S. to double tap?" Because now then they're getting into the issue of, okay, the Washington Post story is very inflammatory because it says not only did you give this order, but when the first missile went in, 9 of the guys were killed, but 2 of them survived and were hanging on to the wreckage. And then an order was given to, quote, double tap, fire another missile in, and according to the article, blew the bodies to pieces and just turned them into just mincemeat. That's the question. So one of the recorders was asking Caroline Leavitt, "What is the American law that allows a double tap?"
The strike conducted on September 2nd was conducted in self-defense to protect Americans in vital United States interests. The strike was conducted in international waters and in accordance with the law of armed conflict.
Okay, see, this is where we start to get into trouble. This is why the administration has so much trouble. That's not the question that she asked. The reporter asked the question, "What law is it that allows for a double tap?" And she didn't even answer the question, didn't even address the double tap issue at all. In fact, she said, "No, the original one, this is self-defense." Come on, man. Seriously? That's where you want to go. Self-defense. This boat that did not have the capacity to even get to the United States. So wherever it was going, it was somewhere in the Caribbean, and it could only go a fraction of the distance to the United States. All of these boats fall in that category, by the way. None of them even have the capacity to go to the United States. They were moving somewhere in the area. According to most trackers, most of the drugs from this area go to Europe. But even that, be that as may, maybe it's going to go somewhere else, and then it's going to get on land and come into the United States. A very small fraction of the drugs. By the way, this is important to understand, too, because of the justification for the entire operation itself is to stop illegal drugs coming into the United States. But it's a very small fraction, a tiny fraction of these drugs, illegal drugs, actually get into the United States by these kinds of boats. Hardly any of them come in there. The vast majority come in through normal ports of entry. Brought in protected areas. It's hidden. It's stuffed inside of other items, et cetera. It comes in through normal procedures. And by the way, 80% of the drugs come in from American citizens. Do you realize that? That's according to the CDC and several other sources, is that they're mostly American citizens, not guys from Venezuela or Colombia or Mexico or anything else. That's where most of them come into the United States. So you're already going after the low-hanging fruit. I've already mentioned before that according to the Trump administration's rankings in their first administration, Venezuela was like number 16 on the list out of the top 20 that where illegal drugs entering the United States, where they originate. Venezuela was 16. So that's already a big question. Why are you going after number 16? Why are you going after something down here instead of the bigger ones or where the majority of the drugs actually come in from? So these are questions that also ask you. But now that we're claiming, oh, well, this is self-defense. I mean, that's the most thinnest information and claim and justification you can come up with. Self-defense, anybody who's ever watched a TV law show understands that if someone is coming and they're imminently going to kill you, you have the right of self-defense. But that means that someone is in the act of trying to kill you. You can't just look at somebody and go, he looked at me wrong, bam, and kill him. Oh, it was self-defense because I bet he was going to come after me. That doesn't quite pass any kind of common sense. Of course, no kind of legal precedent. So that is not only did she not answer the double tap, she did not provide any evidence in law that says why the operation itself was legal for lethal operation. Now, let's see what the law actually is. Here is, this is called Rule 47. It's part of the Geneva Conventions. And it specifically says attacks against person whores to combat. That means someone who is no longer a threat, whether they've been wounded or they've run out of ammunition or whatever. They're no longer a military threat. And it says anyone who is in the power of an adverse party, anyone who is defenseless because of unconsciousness, shipwreck, wounds, or sickness, anyone who clearly expressed intent to surrender, provided he or she abstains from any hostile act and does not try to escape. You are prohibited from attacking anyone's person like that. This is part of the Geneva Conventions, which we are a signatory to. Uniform Code of Military Justice also recognizes this same standard. Ergo, American military law recognizes the same thing. And it specifies a shipwreck here. So that's precisely, this is an apples to apples comparison. So what this really centers in here right now at this point is, let's look at two separate issues. First of all, the double tap. Did the double tap happen? Now, according to the Washington Post and whoever gave them the inside information here, they said that Secretary Hegseth gave a verbal order to kill everyone. So there's apparently not going to be any kind of written order, but there's obviously people heard it. That's I think Admiral Bradley who has been designated by the administration and by Hegseth and the president as being the guy who actually gave the order to fire the second shot. In the comments to this afternoon at the press conference or at the cabinet meeting, they acknowledged there were two shots, and Hegseth said, I wasn't there for the second one. I didn't see it. So I didn't give that order, but I did give the general order that it be attacked. But it was Admiral Bradley, I think, is what they're saying. Yeah, he's the one who did that. So then the question is going to be, was there somebody wounded? Is that why you had a double tap? So that's important here, because if that's the case, then that directly violates this law. Whether you gave the perfect personal order or the admiral did on your behalf from what the existing orders were, and especially if it's true, and this is why we need an investigation. Because we certainly can't trust the Washington Post, any publication. There, we don't know. Somebody could have an axe to grind. We don't know for sure what the motivation was of these people who came forward. Maybe that they were just morally stricken by what happened and they felt they had to report to somebody. Maybe they're whistleblowers, or maybe they had an axe to grind. The only way we can find out is to do an investigation. It has to be a real one. So that's one of the first questions here. Now, Caroline Leavitt continued on. And she was, again, at that same press conference, was asked, what about the killing of these survivors? They pressed her on it.
President Trump and Secretary Hegseth have made it clear that presidentially designated narco-terrorist groups are subject to lethal targeting in accordance with the laws of war. With respect to the strikes in question on September 2nd, Secretary Hegseth authorized Admiral Bradley to conduct these kinetic strikes. Admiral Bradley worked well within his authority and the law, directing the engagement to ensure the boat was destroyed and the threat to the United States of America was eliminated.
To clarify, Admiral Bradley was the one who gave that order for a second strike.
And he was okay. Well within his authority to do so.
Okay, so you can say we designated them as terrorists, and so they can be killed. Well, that doesn't trump other law. And just because you say they're terrorists doesn't mean that now, because we, like with Al-Qaeda and something, Hegseth is going to mention this here in a minute, that means we can go kill them. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. Just you saying it doesn't mean it. It has to actually be validated. Because, look, a terrorist and someone who's running drugs are not the same thing. And because this claim is, well, there's been, large numbers of Americans die with drug overdoses. The implication, the direct implication, especially by the president, is that, these guys are being killed. These guys are providing the drug. Ergo, they are killing these people. So we have to go after them because this is a terrorist act. No, it's not. It's drug running. Because just think about the logic of this. Okay. If you're going to make that claim, then that doesn't mean that the guy running the boat is guilty of being a terrorist. That means everybody at every step along the way in the trail that got a drug into the hand of someone who overdosed is guilty of this kind of, as a terrorist, all of them. So that means everybody in America who is ever caught in drug running, drug dealing is part of this chain. Whether it's way back here in the Caribbean Sea or in Venezuela or Colombia or going through Mexico, it doesn't matter where they start. If they're guilty of that and you're driving, connecting the dots all the way to an American overdose in the United States, then everybody at every step is guilty of that. So now then you're setting up a standard to where you can be shot on sight if you're running drugs, and the administration can use the exact same justification. They're terrorists. That's where these drugs came from these other terrorists. And so we're going forward like that. You see what I'm saying here? You can't say, well, no, that part doesn't work. These guys will just follow U.S. law and they'll just go to jail for however many years you get for running drugs in the United States. No, you can't selectively apply the standard. You can't say here it's worthy of just death from above if you're suspected of it. Forget about due process or anything else. If my perfect intelligence says that this is a drug boat, we can kill them. That is a violation of any kind of law you can imagine. And it is a usurpation of the law. It is setting yourself above the law. I don't like these guys. I don't want to capture them. President Trump said that earlier on. I don't want to worry about, because he was asked. He said, I don't want to worry about capturing them. It doesn't work anyway. So this way, we'll just kill them. We're just going to kill them all. I've shown you that clip several times already. You see what it said? We're allowing this to go on. We're not questioning this. Even forget about the investigation for this part. You don't need any for what he said already and what we're doing here. And you see the illogic of it. You see the logic of it. If this is a terrorist, because he's done that, then so is this guy in Tampa. So is this guy in Duluth. So is this guy in Lubbock, Texas. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody in every portion of this has to be equally considered a terrorist and worthy of summary execution because these guys were. That's the standard you've set. So you can't unset it in the minute that it doesn't prove convenient for you. But let's look at what some other people said. This is not just my opinion. Again, this is on the presumption that what's been reported is true, first of all, on the double tap issue. This is Jonathan Turley, a George Washington professor.
What is clear is that you cannot issue a strike on survivors of a wreck just to kill the survivors. That is against the laws of war. It's against federal law, which has been incorporated by the Senate through treaties. So those points are very clear. The question that is not clear is what happened here. Now, what was just suggested by the White House was that the second strike was meant to fully destroy the vessel. Now, that can be done within the rules of or the laws of war.
So if it was like a battleship and you hit it with a torpedo and it was listening, but it wasn't sunk, you can go back and hit it again to destroy the vehicle of war, right? That ship. Now, this is a smaller craft. So it is technically also possible that you saw this thing burning, and we've all seen the video from this strike, the initial video anyway, where it was just engulfed in flames. And obviously it's a small boat. It's not going to go anywhere. And the initial picture, it looked like it was completely consumed. It's still actually a miracle to me that anybody survived it at all, but they did. But so then you have to say, how logical is it that this boat that was burning, and if everyone died in the first shot, why would there have needed to be a second one? You've destroyed it. You've allegedly killed everybody on board. The vessel is going to burn for a while, and then it's going to sink. I mean, it can't stay afloat for much longer. Why do we go back in and hit it a second time? That's got to be the question. See, and that's what an investigation has to discover here. Because, and in fact, let me just get into it. Actually, no, one other one first. In terms of my opening question here, is this a violation of American law? Is he guilty of murder? If guilty, if he actually did what's being reported here, General McCaffrey had this to say.
Look, the bottom line is the alleged incident of killing the last two survivors was quite clearly an illegal order, quite clearly a war crime, if it occurred the way we're being told. That admiral who accepted the verbal order from Secretary Hegseth will also be held responsible for passing it on. So they've got to get to the bottom of this. We simply can't have the equivalent of a Nazi submarine in World War II machine gunning the survivors of a torpedoed ship.
See, he's using some historical analogy where Americans were sometimes killed even after they tried to surrender by some U-boats of the Nazis in the Atlantic. And the Japanese did some similar things in the Pacific. And so that was one of the reasons why these were drafted into the Geneva Conventions following the war, the 1949. And most countries agreed and signed on to this because they themselves didn't want their troops to be subject to this kind of behavior in the future. So they said there has to be some kind of sanity in this insanity of war. And so this is something we all agree to. So if you went back in this second shot here and you double tapped it because there were two people alive as reported, then you have a major, major problem here. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times about Hegseth. This is about an hour or so ago now. Let's go ahead and run that because here's, first of all, Hegseth is going to start off asking this, the course of this conference with the president. He said, let me set the baseline for you.
I think you got to start with the baseline, which Marco laid out. Everybody's laid out. You got 20 million people invading our country over 4 years. We don't know where they're coming from. That includes Tren de Aragua and cartels and violent criminals. They bring drugs, and you mentioned it, Mr. President, poisoning, an intentional poisoning of the American people, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. So the president had the courage to designate these cartels as designated terrorist organizations. Now, a number of us here served in the military and spent 20 years fighting terrorists like Al-Qaeda and ISIS on the other side of the world. How do you treat Al-Qaeda and ISIS? Do you arrest them and treat them, pat them on the head and say, don't do that again? Or do you end the problem directly by taking a lethal kinetic approach?
Okay. I hate this kind of condescending behavior from the secretary. It's beneath the dignity of the office. And so I'm just going to call that out here. Don't insult my intelligence by asking us to equate somebody who's running a drug boat with an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda terrorist. Okay. What they're doing is they're running drugs. It's been going on forever. It's been going on for decades. Illegal drugs have been happening throughout human history. You deal with it. We had the war on drugs. There's a reason why we didn't, under the Reagan administration, why they didn't just start killing everybody, because that's not the way it works. That's not how law works. That's not how civilization works. It's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. You have to address it, and you have to do the best you can. Part of that is you also have to get at the demand side. And that's where this whole idea that this is Al-Qaeda and ISIS and you're equating the two is nonsense. It's absurd at face value. And once you dig just a little bit, you see how embarrassing of a dumb analogy it is. ISIS and Al-Qaeda were pursuing political outcomes using violence to attain it, and they're killing people. They're setting bombs. They're making assassinations. They're doing all kinds of ways to kill people for the purpose of attaining a political objective. That's what a terrorist is by definition. We have fought them. So when you're fighting against terrorists, then those are the rules of engagement that you have because you're trying to stop them from doing that. Drugs, on the other hand, no one is trying to have a political statement for drugs. They're trying to make money. It's as simple as that. It's all about making cash, and they want to do it through illegal means. So we have to take legal means to stop them from doing that. More importantly, on this whole lethal issue, nobody made any of these deaths in the United States that come from overdose. Nobody held a gun to their head and said, take this drug and die of an overdose. Nobody did that. They wanted to. They sought it out. They pay money for the privilege of dying by overdose. So you cannot in any way, shape, or form equate a terrorist from ISIS and Al-Qaeda with a guy who's running drugs. This is an abhorrent thing, and it does result in the death of people because, you know, you get hooked on drugs and you'll just do things that are stupid and you don't know if the drugs are good or bad or if you take too many, et cetera. There's a reason why it's against the law and you shouldn't do it. But the people who are overdosing, almost, you know, a vast majority of them are doing it willingly. So that's where the death comes from. It's from their desire to have these illegal drugs. And because there's a market for it, because they're willing to pay big money for it, then that creates a desire elsewhere to satisfy that desire and satisfy that need. Those are not the same. And we have different laws to deal with it. And again, let me go back and talk about it. You can't disengage the logic trail from the origin all the way out here. As important, you want to be making this claim that you're going after drugs because you're going to make America safe and all this kind of stuff, and all you're doing is going after one of the smallest percentages of pathways into the United States. Again, these aren't even a direct pathway. This is stuff that probably is mostly heading off to Europe. But maybe some of it was going to end up on a land that was going to come to the U.S. No one knows. No one knows. Whatever they may tell you, they don't know what the pathway was for a drug runner. They were going to move drugs from A to B, and where it went after that, only the drug runners know. And I'm talking about the kingpin. That's one of the issues here. You're talking about all this stuff that you're having, these extrajudicial killings and murdering people who are running drugs, and you're not even touching the actual people who are doing it. You're not doing the kingpins and the guys who are the cartel leaders and the ones who set this up. You're getting the smallest guys, the littlest one. And, you know, we know from a lot of information that we've got, you know, in decades of time, that very often these are just poor people who are, you know, drafted into it. Just carry it from point A to point B. Don't ask any questions. Use your boat. Get it to over here, et cetera. So these are the smallest potatoes that there are in this whole process. And so in Illinois, the people who actually make money, they don't care about the lives of these people by and large. They're not concerned about that. They're angry that they lost their drugs. They're angry that they're interdicted. But as Marco Rubio himself said earlier in this process, it's baked into their economic model. They understand they're going to lose some portion of it, that it's going to be interdicted, it's going to be stolen or whatever. So they know they're going to lose some. So it hasn't been a big issue. And what they're going to do is what any kind of criminal network does. You start interdicting them here, then they're going to start going over here. You've been doing it in the waterways here. We're going to go in the airways over here, or we're going to go in these overland. They're just going to redirect it. I mean, do you think that this is such an easy thing that no one ever thought about this before? And then all you had to do is kill a few people and blow up a few boats, and all of a sudden, presto, problem's going to be solved. It doesn't work that way. It has never worked that way. It is not working that way, and it won't work that way now, no matter what words we're being told. This some of these other issue here. Well, let me just go on. So if I didn't like that first one, because it's kind of condescending that the secretary did, well, he was then asked, after he answered that portion of the question by one of the reporters in the room, they asked him about the double tap issue, and he got a little more testy.
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire or smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand. You sit in your air-conditioned offices or up on Capitol Hill, and you nitpick and you plant fake stories in the Washington Post about kill everybody, phrases on anonymous sources not based in anything. Not based in any truth at all. And then you want to throw out really irresponsible terms about American heroes, about the judgment that they made. I wrote a whole book on this topic because of what politicians and the press does to warfighters. President Trump has empowered commanders to do what is necessary, which is dark and difficult things in the dead of night on behalf of the American people. We support them, and we will stop the poisoning of the American people.
Okay, I don't want to hear any of this crap about the fog of war. I've been to combat 4 times, and I do have a pretty good idea about the fog of war. So I'm not like one of these journalists in the room that he can mock and browbeat and tell them they don't know what they're talking about. I have a pretty good idea of what I'm talking about. You're not talking about the fog of war. You're talking about video that you have, persistent surveillance. The camera's just sitting there watching it. There's no ambiguity. There is no fog of war. Fog of war means that there's things happening. You're not sure that it's chaos and there's things are moving quickly and you have to take action or something could change. That's the fog of war. That's what happens in a conflict. That's routine in the Russia-Ukraine war, for example. Not here. There's not any fog of war for you to hide behind here, Mr. Secretary. This is on video and the thing is just sitting there watching it. So yeah, the original explosion, we've seen it. We showed it here just a minute ago. There's the waves are out there. There's smoke everywhere. There's fire. You can't tell anything, but then that goes away. And then at least according to what was reported, we could see 2 people. Now here's what has, one of the key things that has to be asked on this point here about the double tap. Were there survivors or not? That's the first question. Were there 2 people as reported that were live? There's video. This is not going to be hard to figure out. Release the video. If you don't want to release it because classified, give it to the Senate Armed Services Committee, the people who were authorized to see classified information. Show them the entire video, nothing left out. So that'll be the first thing. Was there survivors or was there not? Whether there was or wasn't, then the question is, why was there a second? Because you see, he didn't deny that there was a second shot. That's important. That's an important point. He didn't deny there was a second shot. He just said, I wasn't there. I don't know for sure what happened. So then the next question is, if this video shows there wasn't, then the question is, why was there a second shot? If there were no survivors, why would you worry about a second shot? Is that routine? Was that the normal path? I think there's been 20 of these boats that have been hit. Was it the normal thing to do a double tap once the first shot goes in? Do you just shoot another one just to make sure? Is this the only one that does a double tap? We don't know. Those are some of the questions that need to be answered by this investigative committee. Because this video will show it, folks. I expect anyone in public to deny it. I mean, I can you imagine anyone actually saying, yeah, this is a double tap? They were live. We caught them, but you know, I just gave the order. I personally gave the order. And so, yeah, I guess that makes me guilty, doesn't it? He's not going to do that. So he's going to, if he did it, he's not going to tell the truth. Don't trust him. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust the Washington Post. Do not trust what the Washington Post wrote. There is many cases where people had axe to grind and they reported inaccurate stuff, but look at the video. That's where we'll find ground truth reality. And that's what we need here. So that'll tell us that portion here, but we still have a bigger issue that transcends that one because we still have all these other boats that have been blown up and killed. And we're still using justification that it does not pass the common sense test. We are taking action here that redefines law with no actual laws being changed just because we want to kill them, meaning the administration. They just want to kill them. So they don't want to go through the hard stuff of interdicting and intercepting. And that's, you know, look, let's just point this out too. This is the most inefficient thing you can do. The most absurd and counterproductive thing you can do. Because you're hitting all the lower level guys. And by killing them all, you don't know where they came from. You don't have a chance to interrogate anybody. You can't get any intelligence from them. And you claim you know where they're coming from. But if you know where they're coming from, why didn't you interdict them when they were at the port? Or why didn't you wait until they get where they're going? You can actually track this stuff, get them on the other side, et cetera. But just to blow them up in the water, you lose all the intelligence value as well. So that's one of the issues here. But the bigger issue is you can't just reinterpret and design law. And so I'm going to apply Al-Qaeda and ISIS out here in the water. But as soon as it gets to the American shore and comes up through the port system, et cetera, through the illegal ports of entry, well, now it'll just be a domestic thing, and now we'll follow American law. You see, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you can, I suppose. You can say you're going to, but you can't do it and be just and be a law-abiding citizen, to be a law-abiding president and secretary of defense. That you can't do. You can just, this might makes right. We're doing that in a lot of places that historically had been un-American. It had been a violation of the American values and ethics. And what we have said, what the Secretary of Defense is supposed to be the exemplar, the model for what right looks like. He's the one that's supposed to hold everybody else accountable for obeying the laws of land warfare, for obeying the Uniform Code of Military Justice, not the one leading the way and blowing it off. And look, this has been a problem from the beginning, and I mean the very beginning. Remember that whole signal chat fiasco that happened at the beginning of his term, where he conducted a strike against Yemen in the Red Sea on an unauthorized network that was not classified? It was just encrypted. It was a civilian deal, 100% against the law, against the regulations. But hey, I'm Pete Hegseth. I can do whatever I want, so don't matter. That's where we are. See, it started off small then, kind of small. I mean, it was a violation of our military ethics, because you can't do that. You're told not to do it. Now here, the highest guy in the department is leading the path on blowing off the regulations, which are in place to make sure we have security of our communications so they can't be intercepted or inadvertently slipped, which is what happened, of course. That's why we had that role there. But he set himself up as being above the regulations. Now he's setting himself up as being above the actual law. He's reinterpreting it one place, following it another place, wherever it suits him. And all this does is continue to shred America's ability to say that we are doing things the right way, that we want to hold people accountable, other places in the world, for the international rules-based order, for the laws of war. We want to hold others accountable for that, because we don't want our troops to be suffering this kind of treatment in the future. Now we're setting ourselves up to where that's exactly what's going to happen to Americans, and people will look forward to and take eagerness and happiness in inflicting upon us what we're doing upon other people, because they'll say, you did it. Now then, here's our chance to do it to you. And you are fooling yourself if you don't think people are just gritting their teeth looking for an opportunity to try and to do some to us what we're trying to do to them. We need to set the standard right now. If this investigation happens, I pray it does. And we need, that video will be the first thing, that the first piece of evidence we need to look at. And then, of course, it'll be what was actually said, this verbal order. We need to find out who was all in the room when this happened. And these people need to be under oath when they make these statements, because otherwise they'll be put pressure on them to say, oh, no, he didn't say that. Whatever. I mean, we'll find out soon enough, I hope. But all of these things, we need to have an actual investigation. And if these things are proven true, what was reported here, then people need to be held accountable. That means the admiral, according to what Hegseth said, is the one that gave the order. If there were survivors in that video, it's a cut and dried situation. There's very little maneuver room there. If there were video evidence and there are survivors in there and you gave the order for another one, then you're guilty. And then the question is going to be, why did you give that order? Because that violates every kind of ethic that he ever grew up with. And if he turns around and says, Secretary of War gave that order, he said, kill them all. If what has been reported there, kill everyone. If that was what he actually said, then they both have to be held accountable. So if the video shows that there wasn't anybody, there was no survivors, and the double tap was just to sink the vessel or something, well, now we still have the other issues at stake here. But then at least that part will have been proven, not true. They need to release that video. That's the only, because otherwise we're not going to believe it. If they just say, no, it wasn't, there's no reason for them to withhold that. Understand this, before anybody gets to this point, there is zero reason why they should refuse to release that entire video, because they have already released the strike itself. There is no more intelligence to protect. There's no more means and other kinds of things about how we got the intelligence that we need to protect. That's all off the table because we've already released it. So that's why we need to see this video in its entirety, all of it. Release it unredacted, unchanged, and then we'll know. So we don't have to rely on anybody's word, not the Washington Post, not the Secretary of Defense, not the Admiral. We don't have to rely on anybody's word. That's what we need to see. One last video I want to show from this, though, and that is from the president himself, who actually gave some information that these strikes on the water may not be the last thing he strikes.
So we lost last year more than 200,000 people, dead people, ruined families beyond the 200,000. And those 200,000, their family will never be the same. But these people have killed over 200,000 people, actually killed over 200,000 people last year. And those numbers are down. Those numbers are down. They're way down. And they're down because we're doing these strikes, and we're going to start doing those strikes on land too. You know, the land is much easier. It's much easier. And we know the routes they take. We know everything about them. We know where they live. We know where the bad ones live. And we're going to start that very soon, too.
Mr. President, thank you so much.
And you know what? When we start that, we're going to drive those numbers down so low. And then you're going to have families be able to live without the fear of their son or daughter just having a pill to have a little fun and ending up dying within a period of 60 seconds, right?
First of all, this may seem a quibbling point, but it is so common. President Trump can't tell the truth on anything. There weren't 200,000 people that died of drug overdoses last year. There were, I think the number I saw present preliminary by the CDC, 76,000. That's not a small number. Just say what the actual number is. And apparently that's down. In 2023, it was 110,000 or something like that. And so it's been coming down already. We need to find out why, and whatever was working, let's keep doing some more of that. But he has to exaggerate. And 200,000. Just the problem is that now then almost anything he says, you have to assume it's not true. And then you have to go and do and dig and to find out what is. That's not a good place to be anyway. Secondary issue. But the bigger issue here, he says, now we're going to go on the land. Now we're going to start doing this on the land. Which land? Venezuela? Colombia? Mexico? I mean, where does this end, folks? You see, now then, those issues I talked to you about a minute ago about the legality of this and the laws and the justification that's been cited are going to expand, because now then your mission set's going to expand. And what is the attainable, aside from the morality and the legality, what is your attainable military objective? What are you even trying to accomplish here? Because I mean, this is not even hard to figure out, man. If you want to try and say, all we have to do is go on these land routes, we know where they all live, and we'll just kill them all, problem be solved. You think no one's ever figured that out before? I mean, does anybody pay any attention to the decades of war, basically, inside of Colombia between the government officials and the cartels, and how many people have been killed on both sides of that, and how difficult it is? Everybody's been trying to kill their way to the end of this. Same thing in Mexico. I mean, there's still terrible battles that go on in there. And now you want to get in the middle of this? You want to start doing? See, you go in and you think, we'll just kill some people. I mean, to get an understanding of how impossible this is, that we're going to go in and blow these things up and kill these people, and then the drug traffic will stop. And then no one will die of overdose in the United States. Well, obviously, that's not going to happen. I mean, it doesn't take, you don't have to be a genius to know that. There's so much evidence, and it's illogical to think it's going to be. But let's just keep it. Let's just say that you decide to go into Venezuela, which seems to be the target of the day. With all of these jungles, do you think you're actually going to stop the cartels from moving things around? I mean, look at the Vietnam War, for example. We had the North Vietnamese were basically a peasant army. They had limited air support, air defense, and we had near air impunity over them. And there was a lot of the ways that they got weapons, ammunition, supplies, food, etc., to their troops, where they had to go through these jungle trails and like carrying things along. And we just hammered this relentlessly with an entire air force and all kinds of activities, ground forces, air forces. I mean, you name it. I mean, it was incredible how much ordnance we dropped in, how many people we killed and how much we blew up, and it never mattered. They still got stuff through there. If there's a will, there is a way. And you will continue to get through. You're not going to stop all this stuff. The jungles are just so massive, and there's the canopy. And it's not like, you know, there's a highway. It's not like going through Arizona or something where there's only one highway and you can see everything else and you can go get it. It's not that way. You go in and you just start killing people. All you're going to do is just stir up a lot of trouble. You're going to make these cartels say, okay, we're coming after you. They have shown that. They have shown that they've been going after any government that comes after them. They'll eventually go after them too. And you're going to bring that war back to our shores. Because there's no question that a lot of these organizations already have sources and sites inside the United States. And there's, in my view, no chance that they don't activate those and use them against whatever targets they may select in our country. And, you know, I mean, we already saw what happened with the, at least the initial order, when there was one National Guard troop that was murdered in Washington, D.C. here recently. The knee-jerk react was, let's send 500 more back in. That's what happened in Afghanistan, that kind of mentality, and that's what will happen here. So we go in and we start losing people, and they start firing back and kidding people, then we're going to want to escalate. Oh, well, we're not going to let them push us down. You see, every way you want to look at this, it's bad. You're not going to stop the drug problem because that's not how the drug problem is addressed. And if you're not even looking at the demand side, then you're not serious about it. You just forget about it. These things aren't going to stop it. It's alluring because it's seductive. You want it to work. You want to kill your way to solving the problems. And you want to say, yes, all of our problems can be solved by killing people. All you're doing is building more trouble, and you're not even stopping the original problem here. We'll see how those numbers work out here. But you need to be aware that there's almost nothing legal about what we're doing here. We're selectively changing the law to fit what we desire to do here. We're ignoring whole categories of other parts of the law, and we're ignorant on that what we're trying to do is going to work anyway. It almost certainly is going to backfire. And that's just the policy itself. That's separate from this alleged double tap issue. Because no matter how you want to reinterpret the law, you can't get around that one. So we need that video. We need to see that video in its entirety released, and then we'll know. Nobody's word has to be taken. Let's look at the video and get rid of that fog of war the Secretary talked about. That's the best way to do it. Thank you very much, folks. Appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.